For our scripture reading this morning, we turn to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 18. We'll read that first of all, the first 14 verses of Matthew 18, and then we will turn to our text in Luke chapter 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth not he leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Our text is taken this morning from Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Luke 18, verses 15 through 17. "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, these words of our Savior are very encouraging for us as a congregation, because these words confirm for us that we are right in our practice of baptizing the infant children of believers, as we have done once again here this morning. There are some in the Christian church who oppose this practice of baptizing the children of believers. For that reason, and for other reasons, we face the question, why do we baptize the children of believers? And we recognize that it's not sufficient for us to have as our answer that this is a long-standing Reformed tradition, that we baptize our children because this is what we were taught and are taught by John Calvin and many other Reformed fathers. But we have as our answer the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and the command, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. And Jesus speaks of the coming of the children to him and the responsibility of parents to bring the children to him. One way in which that is done is at the baptismal font, when the parents present their children for baptism. Besides that, not only do we appeal to the command of Jesus that we bring our children to him as a ground for baptism of children, we also appeal to the very beautiful words of instruction of Jesus to the disciples, to the parents, and to us. For of such is the kingdom of God. The children receive the sign of baptism, which is a sign of the kingdom of God, because of the words of Jesus Christ, that they belong to God's kingdom. You see then that this is also a word of encouragement to the parents. A word to the parents who are believing that they do well in bringing forth children. They do well in receiving those children as a blessing and viewing those children as a positive gift from God. How important that is in a world where children are not viewed as blessings, where they are hated, and because of that, the world does many things to prevent the bringing forth of children. Not only through contraceptions, but also through the gruesome practice of butchering children in the womb through abortion. Jesus says to believing parents, they are a blessing. You do well to bring forth these children. And besides that, Jesus encourages parents by saying to them, as we heard once again in the baptism form and as we hear once again in the words of Jesus Christ, this is right that you bring your children to me, that you confess that you know that they are born dead in sin, that you confess that they need a Savior. And Jesus says to the parents, yes, bring the children to me. I will receive them. I am the Savior of you and your little ones. And finally, this is also an encouraging word of Jesus to the children in the congregation. A word that comes to them at baptism before they are even able to understand that word. A word, therefore, that the parents and the church must bring to the children at the beginning of their lives and throughout their childhood. A word that says to the children, you're not the children of unbelievers. Therefore, you are not the children of the world. As the children of believers, the Word of God to you at baptism and throughout the Scriptures is, you belong to the church, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that means, this is lovely, to Jesus Christ Himself. And so it's with that in mind that we consider this text under the theme this morning, infants coming to Jesus. Infants, that's the word in verse 15, coming to Jesus. And we're going to notice the meaning of that. And then in the second place, this is important with regard to the calling of the parents, the manner in which they come, and then thirdly, the significance of that for us this morning. The text records for us this morning a very moving and loving event in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in all of the things that this text tells us happened, we need to remember this morning that the central figure in all of this history is the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? Jesus Christ is busy preaching and teaching the kingdom of heaven. And you can imagine how the disciples and the others in the audience were sitting under the teaching of Jesus with rapt attention. For He taught them, they noted, not as one of the boring and weak scribes and Pharisees, but as one having authority, telling them things they didn't know, telling them things they didn't understand, showing them the beauty of the Old Testament Scripture and the Old Testament promises in ways they'd never seen before. And the subjects, therefore, were very, very important and interesting. And that's part of the reason then for the annoyance of the disciples, and though we don't read that, probably other people there that day too with these parents. They're interrupting. And this is an intolerable interruption, they think, of this man they know is very important and this teaching that is so vitally important. The disciples think, if only these people knew how important Jesus was. And if only they knew how important this time we have with Him was. And Matthew 18 indicates this. Additionally, they were probably thinking, if only these people knew how important we are as the disciples of Jesus. They would never interrupt Him this way. But as we look at this text, we see that the disciples were completely wrong, weren't they, in supposing that these parents didn't understand what they were doing. They didn't understand who Jesus was. They knew precisely who Jesus was. As they heard Him preaching and teaching about the kingdom of heaven, they saw and believed that He is the King of the kingdom of heaven. And this act of bringing their children to Jesus was an act of faith in which they were confessing that Jesus Christ was indeed important. They saw by faith that Jesus was not only the King of the kingdom of heaven, but the Savior that God had promised long ago to their fathers all throughout the Old Testament. And so these parents bringing their children to Jesus by that very act were saying, this is a man who is very important to us and a man who is very important to our children. we understand that that's true even from an earthly point of view. Parents have no desire to bring their children to be touched by, to be taken note of by an unimportant person. Parents do something like that. They do today. They bring their children to certain people because that person's an important celebrity, or that person is an important politician, an important government figure. These parents were bringing their children to Jesus saying, "This is an important person. Even though our children don't know him, they need to be brought to this man." But of course, these parents were saying more than merely Jesus was an important earthly man. You can look ahead now. When these children are older and able to understand, parents can explain to them, what would they say, do you think, to their children? You know, when you were little infants, you didn't know it, you met a great man? Is that all that they would say? Then the children might say to the parents, well, why did you bring us to this Jesus who died and who isn't very important in society anymore? Why didn't you bring us to some other important figure in history? But the parents would say to their children, you can look ahead and you can hear them saying to them, you were young and you didn't know, but we brought you to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, your Savior and our Savior. And so, this was the thinking of the parents bringing their children to Jesus. He's the important man. He's the one that our children need to save them. The parents weren't focusing on their own activity. They weren't focusing upon their own work in bringing the children to Jesus. In fact, if we look at the text from this point of view, we can say that the parents were saying, all that we do is really unimportant for these children. There's one thing these children need. They need to be touched by Jesus. They need to be saved by Jesus. And so, that is the all-important question in the text. Will these children be suffered to come to Jesus? Will these children be allowed to be placed in Jesus' arms, to be touched, to be blessed, to be saved by Jesus Christ? Although we do know the answer to that question, that is a pressing question for us as parents. That is the most important question for us with regard to our children. Do these children belong to Jesus Christ? Will He save them? Can we bring them to Him? There's a bit of a pause as the parents are purposed to bring these children to Jesus, and in the act of doing so, the disciples step in. And you can imagine them standing between Peter, perhaps, John, James, Andrew, some of the other disciples, standing between these parents with their children and the Lord Jesus Christ, rebuking them. Now, I don't think it would be fair to say that the disciples were saying something like this: these children don't belong to the kingdom, although that's what Jesus teaches the disciples. They do belong. It wouldn't be fair to make the disciples assume the position of the Baptists, that the covenant of God and His kingdom is for adults only and there's no place for children. They knew the Old Testament and they knew that the covenant was with Abraham and his seed, the father and his children after him. But they were guilty of pride. They were guilty of thinking, we are more worthy of Jesus' time than these parents and their children. And maybe the parents were going through a moment of uncertainty. Are we not going to be able to bring our children to Jesus? Then Jesus steps in. And the parallel passage in Mark 10 tells us that he was much displeased with his disciples. Literally, he was indignant with them. He rebuked them with the stern tone of voice, with the words in the text, "You suffer the little children to come unto me, and do not forbid them." Then Jesus spoke these beautiful words, "For of such is the kingdom of God." Although the disciples may not have been taking the position that a Baptist would today, that there's no place for the children in God's kingdom and covenant, Jesus, with these words, does overthrow that position. When Jesus says, "Of such is the kingdom of God," he is saying that the kingdom of God is built up not only of adults, but built up also with children. And the idea is not this, that later on, because these children have believing parents, later on, they're more likely than other children to be part of the kingdom. And nor is Jesus merely teaching here the need of adults to have certain childlike characteristics in the kingdom. But Jesus Christ is saying to these parents, "Yes, yes, I will receive these children. Yes, I will embrace these children. Yes, I will save these children, because they already belong to the kingdom of God." In verse 15 makes plain that it's in infancy already, that the children of believers belong to God's kingdom. This does not come out so clearly from the passage in Mark chapter 10, which is referred to in our baptism form. There, and also in the account of this history in Matthew, the inspired writers of Scripture use a word that refers to young children, to those who perhaps can already walk and talk. And although that already would say to the Baptist who would say children don't belong to the kingdom or to the covenant of God, that would say to them already at the age of 1 and 2, on the basis of Mark and Matthew, we can say that already at the age of 1 and 2 the children belong to the kingdom. But then maybe some would say, but the children aren't born already as members of the kingdom of God. At birth, the children are not to be considered God's and in His kingdom. Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't want anyone to be able to say that. So the Holy Spirit inspired Luke in this passage to say in verse 15, they were bringing infants, literally newborn babies, to Jesus. That word in verse 15 is never used to refer to older children, not even to 1-year-olds or 2-year-olds. It's always used in the Bible either to refer to unborn babies in the womb or to newborn babies a day or only a week old, such as the newborn baby Jesus in Luke 2 that the shepherds would find wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Jesus says, about these little infants being carried by their parents on that day and also today to the baptismal font. Of such is the kingdom of God. So, the text teaches us that ordinarily, the children of believers, that's who these were, Israelites, who like the disciples knew the Old Testament promise of God, that He would establish His covenant with parents and their children. The children of believers are to understand that their children, ordinarily, at birth, maybe even before birth, are regenerated by Jesus Christ and brought into His kingdom. Now that doesn't mean, of course, that Jesus is teaching here that all of the children of believers belong to the kingdom of God. That would be to contradict the rest of the teaching of Scripture and to contradict our own experience. We know that there are some children born to believers who don't belong to the kingdom of God. Nevertheless, the very clear teaching of Jesus Christ here is this. God's covenant runs through the line of believers. God has appointed the children of believers in election to His kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ in His blood has redeemed the children of believers. And it's in them that the Holy Spirit works regenerating them so that for the sake of those children, the calling is, at least as far as the instruction of the children is concerned, to bring them all to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a calling there then to the parents of the children. This text speaks of something that seems somewhat strange. The Lord Jesus Christ here in Luke 18 speaks of infants coming to Him. Suffer the little children to come to me. Suffer these infants to come to me. These infants who cannot walk. These infants who cannot talk. These infants who cannot think. These little newborn babes who don't know that they are sinners, who don't know who Jesus Christ is, don't know that they need salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks of them coming to Him. We might be inclined to say, they can't. This is impossible. These little babies cannot come to Jesus. But we know, don't we, and Jesus is teaching us that here once again. God gives children to believing parents because He has appointed those parents to be the means that He uses to carry out this activity of the children coming to Him. And Jesus is saying to the parents, although the text doesn't say that explicitly, we may read it that way. He is saying to them, I approve of what you are doing. I approve of what you are doing now in bringing your children to me. Don't listen to the disciples. Your children are important to me. I love your children. The Father has given me your children to redeem. I will shed my blood for these children. I will not only touch these children, but I will embrace them. Lay my hands on them and bless them with the blessings of salvation. But there's much more involved, Jesus is also saying to these parents, I approve of what you intend to do with these children. Jesus can see that. There's more to it, isn't there? It's not only that these parents are bringing their children to Jesus that day physically so that Jesus will touch them and bless them that day, but these parents understand that their calling is now every day to lead these children to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they cannot say, with regard now to the responsibility that we have to these children to bring them to Jesus, that responsibility is finished now that we've taken them here this day to meet Jesus Christ. And if that was all that the text was speaking about with regard to the responsibility of parents, we would be very disappointed, because that would mean that we could not bring these children to Jesus Christ. But we can bring our children to Jesus, and we must bring our children to Jesus. The text has in mind here all of the activity of parents, all of the spiritual activity of parents, of rearing their children, bringing them up in the knowledge of the doctrines of Scripture, bringing them up in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. All of that is the activity of bringing the children to Jesus Christ. This is what believing parents are doing. They bring forth their young boys and girls and instruct them and discipline them and live with them in their homes and rear them according to God's covenant. They're bringing their children to Jesus. Oh yes, this word applies to these little ones who were baptized this morning. Jesus Christ may not with His arms embrace them. He may not with His hand touch them, lay His hand upon their heads and bless them. But the Lord Jesus Christ still touches our children with His grace, through His Word and His Spirit, with the touch of love and salvation. He embraces our children in the love of His covenant and kingdom. And He does that, yes, through baptism. But He does that through the believing mother in the home, whose work involves much drudgery and toil. But she's willing to do that work because she views that work as one small part of her great calling, but also privilege, of rearing the children in such a way that she sees that as a mother, she's bringing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. She teaches them Bible history, Bible stories, because she believes that the Lord Jesus Christ will use that as a means to touch her children, to work faith in their hearts, and to build up that faith. She spends much time in the home with her children, disciplining them. She's consistent in that discipline, firm in that discipline, doesn't grow weary in that work because she knows she's working for something much more important than merely this, that these children will behave themselves and reflect well on her and her husband. But she knows that through that discipline, she is bringing her children to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she also, with her husband, sets an example for the children, saying, these children, they will know Jesus Christ. They will know what it means to be a sinner saved by His grace, to be washed in His blood. They will know what it means to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve Him in His kingdom, because they are set in this home with me as their believing example. And so the Father too knows this is His privilege and calling. This is why He takes seriously His calling to be the spiritual head of the home, to order the home and the life of everyone in the home. He sees to it that His children are brought to Jesus by bringing them to church, yes, so that they will be under the preaching of the gospel, so that they will be catechized in the church. But in the home, He sees to it that He spends time with His children. He's not too busy for them, because He knows this is His calling to bring them to Jesus. And He does too send them to a Christian school. And He pays the tuition willingly, because He knows in that school there are believing teachers. Not unbelieving teachers as in other schools who in their instruction will contradict what they're taught in the home and in the church, but believing teachers. Believing teachers who will teach the Word of God. Believing teachers who will apply the Scriptures to the hearts and lives of my children. Believing teachers who will lead, God will use them to lead my children to Christ. Do you see, as parents, you're doing one of two things always. The text places this reality before you. You are either, as parents, in all of your rearing and all of your working with your children, leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're not leading them to Him, which is the same thing as leading them away from Jesus Christ. Oh yes, the Lord will save all His little ones. Not one of them will be lost. And nevertheless, hear the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 18. Woe to him who offends one of these my little ones. It would be better for him that a millstone be tied around his neck and he be cast into the sea. Are you leading your children to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, in addition to that, the text does put before us the truth that the church also has a calling here. And we need to notice that here briefly this morning. Jesus Christ, when He says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me," is not speaking first to the parents. You see that? He's speaking to the disciples, those who represent the church at that time. And He's saying to the church then and down through the ages, these children are yours. They've been placed under your care as pastor in the preaching of the gospel and as elders, as shepherds and overseers over the church. Part of the task of the church then is to oversee the parents in the preaching, on family visitation, and all of the work of the elders, to go to the parents and ask them pointed questions and make sure that they see to it, that they realize these children are gifts given to them by God and to be instructed and brought up in the ways of His covenant. And then also in the preaching and in the work of the office bearers, the children too need to be cared for, be shepherded, to be fed, not entertained. That's where many churches today are guilty of not allowing, but forbidding the children to come to Jesus, because they won't teach and feed their souls with the truth of sound doctrine, the doctrine of God's Word. But beloved, this calling comes not only to the office bearers, but to all of the members of the church. Let me simply say this morning. There may be none of the attitude in this church of Jesus Christ that says the children are the responsibility of their parents. When it comes to being interested in their upbringing, when it comes to supporting the church and the causes of the kingdom, including the school, that have to do with the upbringing of the church and bringing them to Jesus, that's the responsibility of me, no more, because my children are grown. Or that's not the responsibility of me at all, because I'm not married and I don't have any children. To that, the Lord Jesus Christ has to say this. You must see this morning. When He says, "For of such is the kingdom," the church is made up of the sheep and the lambs. They are your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. They belong not only to the parents who brought them forth, but to this body. Beloved, it's important for all of us to recognize that this morning. How God in His grace includes infants even in His kingdom. Not only so that we will know it is our obligation and calling to teach them, to support all the work of teaching them, but so that we will all learn from them. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us here in verse 17, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." You and I, all of us, people with children, people without children, must view the children, the infants, as members of God's kingdom so that we will see, as those children receive the kingdom of God, that's how I must receive the kingdom too. And then you understand in the first place that this is a call to humility. This is what the disciples needed to hear. These disciples who love to argue amongst themselves, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus Christ is saying to them, let me show you this little child. Let me show you this infant. What do we see in baptism? Little children, infants, who can't do anything, who can't really think anything, who can't say, it's because of what I've done, because of what I've chosen to do, because of what I understand, because of how I have exceeded others. No. Baptism reminds us that they and we, all of us, must be humble and completely dependent upon Jesus Christ. That's the second thing that we must learn from the children. What can they do? They have no independence. They depend completely upon father and mother. Beloved, that's my and your salvation. That's humbling, but it's also comforting. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ in this word and in the sacrament of baptism says to you this morning, not only you can't save yourself, you don't have to, be converted. Become like little children, little ones who trust completely in their Father. Trust in your Father who through Jesus Christ saved you and your children. Amen. Father in heaven, We know that our children are conceived and born in sin. We see it, the evidence of that, so quickly in their lives. In their pride, in their self-sufficiency. And that's humbling to us because we know that they receive those sinful natures from us and they learn so many of the sinful behaviors that they do from us as well. We know this morning that we're not any better than the disciples, and our tendency to think about how great, save us and our children. By thy grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.